want to look in Romans chapter 8, and we want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture, actually a verse, but we want to spend a little time in Romans chapter 8 in reference to this particular verse. And we've titled our message, and this is just simply taken from the verse, "If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us?" So let's read tonight in verse 31 of Romans chapter 8. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" What a great question. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for the good day that you've blessed us with. We ask your blessings, Lord, on those that's on our prayer list and those that have needs, those that have procedures, those that are just going through some difficult times of our church family and even our extended family. Our prayer list is full, but we're grateful that you know each and every need and you know each and every situation. So Lord, we're just lifting the request up to you. We even think of the ones that are on the prayer list for spiritual needs, those that need Christ, those that need that touch. Father, I pray that you'll, wherever they may be tonight, I pray that you're even now doing a work in their heart and causing them to realize, Lord, that they need to be saved or that they need to, Lord, just simply draw closer to you. Lord, we ask this as we know that you have the ability and that you can meet the needs. So, Father, I pray that you help us as we spend some time in your word. Help me tonight, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 8 contains a wealth of spiritual truth. When I think of Romans 8, I think of the fact that it contains what God is to his people. It emphasizes what he has done for his people. And so we think about that question tonight, and we think about if God be for us, who can be against us? And I say this tonight based upon what this verse says, that nothing or no one can successfully, and I say the word successfully, be against us. Now we understand, and I will say that as a preface to, we understand that we're going to have life's problems. We understand that there's going to be those that oppose the truth. There's even going to be those that seem to be against you as an individual and as a believer. The one that I think of is none other than Stephen. Of course, the Bible's full of individuals that it seemed like there was as there was a great following for Christ, there was also a great opposition. And we understand that as Stephen proclaimed the word, we also know that he was stoned. And so when I think of the verse, we have to be careful and understand that it doesn't mean that we're not going to face opposition. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face trials. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face difficulties. So we understand that tonight. But nothing can be successful. And so I think of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. The Bible says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." So if Romans chapter 8 is saying, if God be for us, who can be against us? What does it say? Well, I think of what I began last week, and throughout in days to come, we're going to be inserting the fact that one of the biggest and the opposer is none other than Satan. Satan has opposition, and Satan will, you know, use his tactics, his methods, his all this that he has, that he can obtain, if you will, to oppose a believer, to oppose anyone who claims Christ. So we have to think about where we began last Sunday in saying, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, which is found in 1 John 4:4. So here are some oppositions that I believe that Satan is behind, and it's found in Romans chapter 8 that I believe that we can find help from. But through it all, when we think of the verse that we read to you just a few moments ago, our text verse, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want us to consider a few of these verses in Romans chapter 8. And I want to begin with verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So one of the struggles and one of the opposition, if you will, when it comes to Satan and his tactics is none other than condemnation. But you see, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible clearly says there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which means we're victory. We have victory in Jesus. We have victory in Him. And so therefore we can apply this verse that is our text verse, and we're going to be applying it through this. And that is, if God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, there's no condemnation that is against us because of what Jesus Christ has done, because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So we think of that, the opposition or the struggles in life, and one of Satan's tactics is none other than sin. And we understand, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we understand that. We also understand, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We understand that as well. But in reference to if God be for us, who can be against us? And although there's sin everywhere, and there's sin even, you know, until we get to heaven, we're still going to have to deal with sin. But yet I'm grateful that through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was just sung about, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. So although there's oppositions and there's struggles, one thing that we don't have to worry about is sin. Doesn't mean we're not going to sin, because we still have that sinful nature. One of the first things I believe that Satan did, and I believe it was the influence of Satan, because Satan tries to control the mind. And one of the first things after I got saved, one of the first things on that morning, I got saved on a Friday night, and one of the first things that happened to me on Saturday morning was I woke up, and I still was rejoicing over what Christ did in my life. And the first thing that came to my mind was, am I really saved? Am I really saved? And then I started playing back my life, and I started playing back. I mean, I wasn't but 15, so I didn't get into a lot, but I was still a sinner. And so my mind started playing back, and it was almost like, am I really saved? And then there was questions that came into my mind. And I'm grateful tonight that salvation does not depend on me or you, but salvation depends upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that we are going to celebrate Easter here in just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate, and we should understand how important the resurrection is to us. how important the resurrection is to the truth and the truth that is proclaimed. So the opposition is there, but yet we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. If God be for us, who can be against us? Then drop down to verse 8 of Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, so then they which are in the flesh cannot please God. So we're grateful tonight that we don't have to worry. Although we have that sinful nature, we're grateful that we're not saved based upon our works. We're grateful that we're not saved based on anything that we have done, but everything that He has done. And although we have to worry about our flesh, we have to worry about our thoughts, we have to worry about, and we have to guard against all those things, we don't have to worry because we're under the blood. We're under the blood. And although there's struggles, I'm grateful tonight, as the gospel song says, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees the blood of the Lamb. So look at verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of God which shall be revealed in us. Now there's going to be suffering. Some of you are going through difficult trials right now. Some, if you're not going through them, you probably will be. So maybe some of you have gotten out of a trial. There's going to be suffering in this life. There's going to be suffering, because of this world. There's going to be suffering because of, we're in this world. And of course, we understand what's behind all that. It's none other than sin. And the sin from when Adam and Eve came to this world. And we understand all that, and we understand that Satan is a part. I think of Job. You know, when Satan was seeking, then the comment was made as they were talking was, have you considered my servant Job? Job suffered. There's no doubt. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost all those things that we can see. But yet, I'm grateful. As we look at that passage there in Job, or that chapter in Job, and even his friends ultimately... You know, the first time that I did any studying in the book of Job, and did any kind of in-depth studying was in Sunday school when one of the adult classes was downstairs, and Pastor Chuck and I were jointly teaching that class, and we were teaching through the book of Job, and we were teaching through that. And it literally, when I did the study, it literally amazed me. Although the friends were supposed to be an encouragement to Job, in reality, in a lot of ways, they were hindrances. Because they were pretty much saying, you caused this. You know, there's something in your life, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing it. There's something in your life that caused this, when in reality, Job was just chosen to go through that. But you know, in the end, Job was blessed. In the end, Job was blessed. And although there's going to be suffering in this life, there's going to be difficulties in this life, we have to remember that as God allowed sufferings, and when God allowed that, God also had His hand, and He could only go so far. There's going to be sufferings. But as the verse said that our title and our text verse this evening, if God can be for us, who can be against us? What about corruption? Verse 21 of chapter 8. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see, this gives us hope. You know, we're grateful tonight for what Jesus Christ has done. And although there's opposition and there's there's opposition and there's those that oppose and things oppose, we're still grateful tonight because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It just simply tells us that there's going to be pain in life. There's going to be pain, and some of you are dealing with that now. There's going to be pain. And then in verse 26, if you look at verse 26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. I'm grateful for that verse. Because there's times that we don't know what to pray. And we don't know how to pray. The Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows what we're in need of. But I like that verse and I'm encouraged by that verse because it's not necessarily maybe the words that we say, but yet He knows our heart and He knows what we're in need of. And it says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh the intercession for us. You see, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all these things can, I believe, I've already mentioned it, but all these things can take place, and all these things we deal with in life is none other because of Satan and his influence. Satan and his influence. But yet, as I shared with you just a few moments ago and continue to share with you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Greater is He that in you than he that is in the world. I think of another verse found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, he's seeking. He's seeking whom he may be, who he may devour. But if God be for us, who can be against us? How do we know? How do we know? How can we be assured of this truth? Well, let me give you just a few things tonight of how that we can be assured of this truth. And we're going to use Romans chapter 8 to have that assurance. The first thing I want to make mention is this. God is for us because He gave His Son. God is for us because He gave His Son. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 8 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. You see, I'm grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 32 of Romans chapter 8 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely give us all things? You see, what more could our Lord have done for us than sent His Son that we might have life? You see, I'm grateful tonight, and you should be grateful as well, that what we have tonight, if you're saved, what we have tonight is not religion, but what we have tonight is Jesus. Jesus. We don't have religion. You know, you used to hear this when I was growing up quite frequent. You would hear someone that their life got changed, and you would say, oh, they got religion. But yet, religion can't offer what Jesus can. Religion can't offer. You see, no more proof is needed that He loves us. No more proof is needed that He's for us. As the verse said, as the verse says, when it says, what shall we then say to these things? In other words, all these things. What more needs to be said? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Because He has given His Son. He has given His Son. Number two, God is for us because He has forever settled the question of sin. He has settled the question of sin. Now, I won't take time to read it because I've just read these verses, but you can find that in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. But you also can find it in verses 33 and 34. The Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? If it is God that justifieth, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." You know, I noticed when I was studying and when I was preparing this message, I was noticing, I've got two different Bibles that I preach from. I actually used the other one this morning. And so the ones that I preach from. And I had this cover. Darlin Marshall bought this Bible for me in 2009. And I used it over at Manna when I was pastoring there for about 8.5 years. And then I used it here. And then the cover started to tear and the back of the Bible started to tear. And I really didn't want to, you know, you can buy different Bibles and we know that. But I really, this one, I just done so much studying and so much preparation and so on, I didn't want it to be discarded or just put on the shelf. So we actually took it and had it recovered. And it was gone for about probably 3 months or so, 3 or 4 months, and it came back and a very nice cover was put on it. But I was noticing this evening when I was looking over this message, I was noticing how dirty the pages were around Romans chapter 8. How my fingerprints have been just there. It's kind of yellow in that because you're just constantly turning. And then I was preparing or thinking about this message, and there's no reason why. There's no reason why it wouldn't be dirty, because there's so much truth in Romans chapter 8. There's so much truth because there's so many references that pertain to us, and there's so many references that pertain to what God has done for us that gives us hope today, that we understand if God be for us, who can be against us? Because of that truth. So I'm grateful tonight that the sin question is settled. The sin question is settled through the gift and the sacrifice, and we're going to be celebrating the resurrection very soon. But I'm grateful for that gift. I'm grateful for that sacrifice that Christ made, but I'm ever more grateful for the resurrection, for the resurrection. And I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that talks about the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sin is settled once and for all by Him, which is Jesus. So that sin question is settled once and for all because of Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, we were condemned. Apart from Him, we were condemned. John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24 of the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," notice what it says, "hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life." All because of Jesus. All because of Jesus. If God is before us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? You see, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what He's done for us. I'm grateful for what He's done in our lives and what He continues to do in our lives. The Bible says in John 3:18, the Bible says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, we have hope tonight because of Christ Jesus. We live tonight because of Christ Jesus. The song that we many times sing during Easter, I know he lives. I know he lives because he lives within my heart. He lives within my heart. Number three, we know that he's for us because he has promised that all things will work together for our good. Now that's a tough one. That's a tough one because we see a lot of things that's taking place, and I'm just going to read it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, this is one that Satan attacks very hard. This is one that Satan attacks very hard because we see a lot of things that's happening. We see a lot of things that happens to good people, and we see a lot of things like that. And we say to ourselves sometimes, how is this working? How is this working? But you see, there's some key points in that verse. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. But notice what it says. To them who were called according to his purpose. To them who are called according to his purpose. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm paraphrasing. You've read it in Daniel, and you've studied it, and you've heard messages preached. But yet they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bow. And they were thrown in that fire. And they was willing, and they knew, and they gave testimony that if the path would have been chosen for them, that they perish in that fire, that they would have still been better off. But yet there was a fourth man in the fire. A fourth man in the fire. I think of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. He was thrown into that den, but God closed the mouths of those lions. You see, there's going to be trials that we go through. There's going to be difficulties that we go through. But we need to be reminded that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we think, how is this going to work out? How is this going to work out? How is this going to work out for God if we're called? How is this going to work out for my purpose? How's all this going to work out? Well, it comes to faith and trust. Faith and trust. It doesn't always seem to us that things are working together for good when we're going through these fires, when we're going through these trials. But God promised it. God promised it. Many times it seems like that there's so many things against us. Many times that things seems like life is against us. Many times it seems like, you know, it seems like the pressures continue and the difficulties continue in life. But we can claim, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's where our faith comes in. Our faith is critical. Our faith is critical because God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. And I'm going to close with this point here because it summarizes all that I've mentioned thus far. Number four is, we know that God is for us because we have eternal life. God is for us because we know that we have eternal life. Verse 35 of Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? The Bible says, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. There's that promise, there's that understanding. We're more than conquerors. He loves us. And then that word persuaded, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the key. Is Christ Jesus is the key. God is for us now and forever. God is for us now and forever. Nothing shall separate us from His love. Nothing shall separate us from His love. And although we're going to be faced with trials, and although we're going to be faced with difficulties, and we're going to see a lot of things taking place, and we're going to see a lot more things if we continue to live in this world. We're going to see a lot more things, and we're going to see evil continue to rage. We're going to see all those things, but just keep in mind and understand, if God... What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm grateful tonight that one day in my life I said yes to Jesus, because we have hope in Jesus tonight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Romans chapter 8. So much more could have been said, and so much more could have been expounded upon, but yet the word was read. Now help us to apply it. During the difficult days of life, help us to understand that You're for us. Help us to understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Help us to understand that, as the verse proclaims, that things work to good. Help us to proclaim Your truth. And help us to have that understanding. But Lord, I know that we need to be reminded of this every day. Father, I pray that You'll speak to hearts, and as we soon leave this place tonight, Lord, I pray that You'll just bring comfort to those that need. Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as our personal Savior that might be viewing tonight, or even someone that might be here, help them, Lord, to understand there is no hope without Christ. And for those of us that are saved, may we look to You. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.